Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giulio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. We'll get back into some Carson Wentz conversation and the Phillies-Marlins series, which, by the way, was an absolute disaster for this bullpen, which is the Achilles heel of this team. And whenever they get back to playing, hopefully tomorrow, hopefully that thing gets a little bit more shored up because it is a problem. It was over the weekend. But right now we're going to invite on Elliott Shore Parks to talk all things Carson Wentz, his chat with Jalen Hurts, and thoughts on the NFL as they try to pull off what baseball is struggling with right now. Elliot on the line. Elliot, how you doing tonight?
Doing good, doing good. Except there's not a Phillies game, but I've been enjoying the show.
Well, thank you. Yes, we all wish we were listening to Scott in L.A. right now, but we could chat and entertain the people until we get some baseball back. Elliot, let's start with your conversation with Jalen Hurts, then we'll move to some Carson stuff. But you had a chance to I keep saying sit down because I think that was part of the title, like a sit down. I'm not sure if you're actually in the same room or it was over the phone or whatever, but you got to talk to Jalen Hurts. What were your impressions, I guess, the first time an extended conversation you had with the Eagles' second-round pick?
Yeah, so I wasn't a sit down. I probably won't get a chance to see a player face-to-face all year. I mean, maybe not until next season, but it was good. I mean, Jalen's in Philadelphia now. Obviously, it's been a little bit of a different offseason, as he talked about. A couple, I guess, takeaways where DeSean Jackson texted him, asked him to come to Florida. He did that. He said the chance to get to work with DeSean was really good. He kind of picked his mind on different coverages. They worked on their timing. I guess what stands out is not many backup quarterbacks get texted by the number one veteran receiver on the team and get asked to work out. So I think it just speaks to how Jalen is a little bit of a different rookie. And, he said he's been learning the playbook, practicing, getting the calls out. Doug Peterson has said he's coming along nicely. So I think at this point, Jalen's just excited to get here and to practice, which unfortunately is probably going to be still another two, three weeks away.
Yeah, so Elliot, when you think about the protocols they've set up here and kind of the plan they have, I know none of us are doctors and we're just kind of guessing, but it does seem like they are they're trying the most they can to have the least amount of normal football activity before the season starts. It seems like they don't want to, I don't know, for lack of a better term, waste time they're going to be near each other until the games start to be played. I mean, it's almost barely any real practice this summer from the way they've laid it out.
I think that's part of it. But I do think, like, once training camp starts, there will be a lot of practice. I think they can have up to 14 in the practice session. Last year, I think I charted 17 practices, and there were a few light days in there. So maybe they were around 20. So they'll get around five or six fewer practices than normal. But Doug Peterson spoke to the media today and said he's going to, make those practices intense. Obviously, he's always going to listen to the players' bodies and make sure that he's not over-pushing them. But he said he's going to look for some areas in practice where he can make it game-like. In past years, he's kind of had 11-on-11 drills with all the players watching, and it creates a competitive environment. I'd imagine they'll do some more stuff like that. And I also think they're using the ramp-up period to get these players ready. I mean, they didn't have OTAs. They didn't have minicamp. Some of them haven't had access to gyms, or at least not normal access. So I do think the 2 weeks to kind of get them in, get them in shape, get them used to the protocol, I do think it's important.
Elliott Shore Parks joining us here, talking some Eagles as training camp is, well, the players are arriving, getting tested here. What was the feeling from Doug today? I mean, I know he was asked about kind of in the light of what's going on with the Phillies and the Marlins and baseball trying to start up. Do you sense confidence from Doug? What's the feeling from Doug as the NFL now tries to create their own, really kind of safety protocols and the ability to come back?
Yeah, I mean, Doug expressed confidence. He called the NovaCare kind of his bubble right now. So I think that he feels safe going in there. The players are starting to come in. And I think Doug's big thing is, and this has kind of always been Doug's thing, whether we're talking about, drafting a certain player or going after this free agent, is Doug just likes to worry about football. Doug knows that there's people in the organization that are taking care of this stuff. He said, people meet every day. They're looking at what other teams are doing, what other league they're doing. They're trying to find the best strategy. But ultimately, Doug's job is to get this team ready for September 13th at Washington. And I think that obviously Doug cares, but if he wasn't doing that and these week one games do happen, the team's going to be unprepared. So I think that was Doug's message. And he's always going to be a guy that worries about football. I think that's what makes him a great head coach and what makes him get along with, a general manager like Howie Roseman.
Elliot, the one thing I saw over the weekend, it was Mike Florio had it, that the personnel, I mean, not just players, but people, that work for the team, they're all going to be subject to fines if they basically break the rules. If they go out to a bar, if they do something with more than 25 people, if they do something that puts the whole operation in jeopardy, that they're going to be fined too. I think that kind of rule, like, that sets a precedent in the organization. I like that. Like, even if you're not a player or you're not a coach, but you are around the team in some aspect, you got to follow those rules too. It feels like a all-for-one, one-for-all feeling the NFL is trying to set up so they could get through this thing.
Yeah, and I think it kind of speaks to just, the fact that nobody is immune from COVID-19. There's nobody out there that can't get it, at least that we know. So, the PR director of the Eagles getting it or the cafeteria worker, it's kind of the same as a player, right? I mean, now not everyone's going to have contact with everybody, but if you're in that NovaCare, you hold a responsibility to make sure you're being responsible when you're out of it. I think, we all do, like anyone in any line of work. You hold responsibility for your coworkers. So I think I agree with you. I like that. Doug talked today about the fact that, every season you kind of prepare for football injuries. You make sure your team has depth. But this year, he has to be prepared for anybody at any point to be out of the building. I mean, Jim Schwartz gets it. All of a sudden, he's down to defensive coordinator. Deuce Staley gets it. His running back coach is gone. So he said he's been putting a lot of things in place to kind of prepare for all types of different scenarios. Even if he gets it. Look, if Doug were to get it, the Eagles would be out of their head coach. And he's obviously a massive part of what they do. So a lot of contingency plans going in at the NovaCare right now.
Yeah, that's one thing I hadn't even thought about, Elliot, until right now. Like, baseball, we talk about managers here, and we get fired up about Gabe Kapler, Joe Girardi. But if an NFL coach got sick and had to be out, you can't replicate that. Like, someone else could fill out the lineup card and take the lineup from a manager and just do what he wants to do. But you can't replicate an NFL coach. I hadn't thought about that until now. Like, there's an extra layer. It feels like maybe more in that sport than any other, where an extra person is probably just as valuable as some of the star players on the team.
Well, look, I think you can make the argument any Sunday, the most important player in the Eagles operation is probably Carson Wentz. He's the quarterback, but you can definitely make the argument Doug is number two.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen what Doug does on Sundays. He's a phenomenal play caller. He gets his team ready. He has a great knack for calling the right play at the right time. And if you look at the Eagles coaching staff, they don't really have a lot of people that could step in. I mean, they had Frank Reich in the past that had experience doing it. But now when you look at their staff, Marty Morningweg, I'm pretty sure has experience calling plays. But outside of that, they're relatively young. I mean, they're a relatively unexperienced coaching staff. So I do think that if Doug were to be gone, this would be a very big problem for the Eagles.
Elliot Shore Parks, 94WIP.com, joining us here. All right, Elliot, you mentioned Carson there as obviously the most valuable or most important Eagle on Sundays. He's a starting quarterback. Let's talk about some of these rankings that have come out. It's that time of year where ranking lists tend to emerge right before training camp starts. And two this week, or two today basically, hit. Number one, Carson was not voted a top 100 player by other NFL players. Now, I tend to believe the players are probably the least reliable in terms of their view because, they kind of tell you what they see in the moment. If Carson has a great game against a guy, he probably votes him. If he has a bad game, probably doesn't vote him. I don't know if they're diving into everything. But it is interesting. 3 years ago, he's number three in the whole league by other players. Last year, 96. This year, not top 100. What do you make of that?
So I've seen the players fill this ballot out. How it essentially works is one of the final weeks of the season, someone from the NFL comes in, they give them a piece of paper, and you write down 100 names. I'd be surprised if 80% of those players write down 100 names. But what they do is they write their teammates down and they write guys around the league that they know are really good. So what I think you can take from this, if you're going to take anything, is players around the league just don't view Carson as one of those like difference maker, like no doubt about it, really good players. I think that, you know, there's certainly some around the league that know he's a good quarterback. If you ask them about Carson specifically, they would say, yeah, he's a good quarterback. But overall, outside of Philly, where we don't, you know, talk about him every day, I think his reputation around the league is a guy that's good. He's had good moments and gets hurt. And when that's your reputation overall, you're not going to crack many of these top 100 lists, especially among players that, you know, are just kind of writing down the first names that come to their mind.
Yeah, that's the interesting part. The first name is he's not the first names that are coming to their mind. Now, the other list definitely had more thought that went into it. That's the NFL Executive Survey. Mike Sandoz does it of The Athletic. So Carson Wentz was ranked as a second-tier quarterback, which I think most people would agree that's fair. That's where he is. He's not a top-tier guy. He's not, you know, Mahomes, Wilson, but he's in the next tier. But it was interesting. So he's number 11 overall when they add all the numbers up. But he got more votes for the third tier when you look at the data than he did for the first tier, which means more people voting in that survey. And this is executives. It's their job to evaluate talent. They think he's closer to average than he is great. And I think that probably will surprise people when they hear it or read it.
Yeah, and I think what really stood out to me about that, and I don't have the exact quotes in front of me, but it was essentially something like, look, he can make great plays, but consistency is his problem. And I think that absolutely hits the nail on the head of what Carson has been through his first 4 years. In 2017, he was amazing. The last 2 years, he just hasn't been. He's been really good over the last – he was really good over the last four games of last year, but consistency is Carson's problem. If you look at his highlights, that throw he made against Washington to Miles Sanders, maybe only other quarterback in the league that can make that is Patrick Mahomes and maybe Aaron Rodgers. Some of the, you know, plays he gets out of are Lamar Jackson-esque. But if you watch every snap over the last 2 years, he's had accuracy problems. He makes poor decisions at times. And he really hasn't come up big in the clutch. He did at the end of last year, but overall over the last 2 years, this team's lost a lot of close games. So I think tier two is right for Carson. I've always said I think he's somewhere between, you know, on his good days, the eighth best quarterback in the league and probably more around 10, 11, 12. So I don't have an issue of where he fell. And again, I think today just kind of showed with these rankings coming out how Carson is viewed around the league. He's viewed as a good quarterback, not a great quarterback, just outside the tier of, like, true, true difference makers.
For sure. That's what players and executives are saying. Elliot, I appreciate you hopping on tonight. An unexpected chat, but a fun one. Elliot, thank you.
Yep, no problem. Talk to you soon, Joe.
There he goes. Elliot Shoreparks, 94WIP.com, the Go Birds podcast. Yes, Doug Peterson did a little Zoom call today, and Doug talked about, well, I mean, they're opening up. I mean, they're starting this thing, and they're going to try to do what baseball is trying to do here. And I do believe, as we discuss tonight, whether or not – I'm going to check the poll question tonight on whether or not people think they should shut this baseball season down. I don't. As I watch – who am I watching from? I mean, the Mets and Red Sox. It's amazing how in a sport that is every team touches another, right? You play one team, move on to the next one. Play one team, move on to the next one. Every city, every team, all eventually – I mean, this season's different because it's only AL and NL East. But you know what I mean? Like, you play everybody. Everybody plays each other. Everyone, in a sense, touches each other. It's amazing watching baseball tonight across the league. Everyone else is business as usual. Like, I'm watching the Red Sox and Mets right now. They're going about the game just like every other game you watch this weekend. Nothing about the game portends that they're worried. Nothing about watching, you know, has anything to do with the outbreak that happened within the Marlins clubhouse. And I hope, beyond hope, as we get to tomorrow and we have some more information on the Phillies, that's what it becomes. But I just don't think, based on what we know right now, that the league should stop. And I was listening to some of what Rob Manfred had to say during one of the breaks. He was on MLB Network tonight. I guess Rob waited until he got his own network to interview him. That's a fun way around all this. Rob, the building is burning outside. Can you give a statement? I'm just going to wait till 7 o'clock. I can go on MLB Network. I can approve of the questions, and we're going to be okay. But Rob Manfred spoke tonight. Tucker, you heard some of it. Did you get the sense at all that Rob Manfred sounded like a commissioner that's worried about his sport?
I mean, Rob Manfred's the biggest buffoon of a commissioner I've ever seen. And it's funny because, like, Roger Goodell is hated and kind of viewed as an idiot. But guess what? Roger Goodell makes his league money, right? Roger Goodell, when he steps down as commissioner, is going to leave the NFL in a better spot than when he found it. With Rob Manfred, every time he opens his mouth, I wonder why people let him speak in public.
Makes people feel worse.
How him got to the point where he was the best option to be commissioner of baseball. The one thing I will say, though, the fact that there are 26 teams playing tonight, I believe, and it seems pretty much to be business as usual. And if you didn't, if you weren't here, if you were in Oakland right now and you weren't paying attention to the Marlins, you may not even realize that this is happening. I hope that this is a Marlins issue, that this is an issue of a team that blatantly disregarded the protocol and the rules that have been set in place for player safety, and we're dealing with these issues now. And it's not a matter of, hey, we did everything right and this still happened. Because if that's the case, then Major League Baseball has a huge issue on their hands. If this is just a case of negligence on the part of the Marlins and 3 to 4 teams have to pay for it, that I can't really blame Rob Manfred for.
Yeah, and if that's the case, and I'm with you in hoping that's the case, because that means the season can move forward, I hope that the Phillies came out unscathed. Now, we don't know. We don't know the tests that came back for the Phillies today. We'll find out tomorrow, I assume, and maybe in time to play a baseball game tomorrow night. But I hope the Phillies came out unscathed, because it would be a damn shame if the Phillies have a bunch of positive tests and their players unfortunately got affected when they're doing everything right, especially a guy like Didi. Didi Gregorius had a heck of a weekend. Heck of a weekend. I mean, it was fun watching Didi play shortstop and hit bombs all weekend. He's got an underlying condition. He has a kidney issue that he's had for the better part of a decade now. So, I mean, that's significant. 215-592-9494. Let's hope everything's going to be okay with the Phillies, but I don't think they should shut this thing down. I think they're going to power through tomorrow, and the results with the Phillies are going to go a long way. I'll make this prediction. If we have none, or you know, a very, very nominal amount, maybe one Phillies player test positive tomorrow off of the Marlins series, I think this season moves forward. And maybe we look at this as a learning point. Hey, the Marlins screwed that up. Hey, they were too close to the dugout. Hey, maybe before the game they were a little bit too close. Maybe that's the kind of a teaching point where Manfred says, hey, look, everybody, don't do what they did, because they must blew this whole thing up. 215-592-9494. Dan, I want to talk a little baseball, because we did have baseball this weekend. He's on WIP. Hey, Dan.
Hey, what's up, Joe? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Dan. What's up?
Hodgkins. I'm worried about him. They got him batting second. He shouldn't be no more than 5 or 6. I mean, 5 if he's hitting good. 6. I mean, he can't pull the trigger. I know why they got him there, because if he's in front of Harper, he's going to get pitches to hit. But they throw an 82-mile-an-hour meatball down the middle, and he can't pull the trigger. I mean, that ball's got to be in the left field bleachers. I don't know what it is with him.
Yeah, I don't know either. But, Dan, I actually, until he figures it out, until he starts swinging the bat better, I like him at 2 for this reason. There's one thing he does really well. He gets on base. He had 7 walks this weekend, only struck out 1 time. If you're going to have a guy that's going to walk all the time, the top of the order, he's going to get on base for Harper and JT a lot.
I understand that, but he's a slow runner. I don't think he should be that high. And let me get to the bullpen. Remember the other night we were talking, you said you thought they were going to be 32 and 28?
Yeah, that was my guess.
After what I've seen from the bullpen this weekend, I think we'll be lucky to be 28 and 32. Our bullpen is atrocious.
Oh, Dan, it's not even just bad. You're right. Atrocious is the right word. It was awful. Dan, I always appreciate your phone call. I appreciate you calling in. Bullpen was bad. You know what we're doing when we come back? Because of all of what happened this weekend with the Marlins, with the testing, we got into the Carson Wentz rankings. We haven't really given our true takes on the games over this weekend. We had 3 real games in Philadelphia this weekend. We had 3 baseball games. My feelings on the Phils after 1 weekend. 215-592-9494. Adam Haseley, thumbs up. Hoskins, I feel better about him right now, I think, than most people. I'll tell you why. And I think it is time to acknowledge where the real blame has lied and continues to lie with this baseball team. I've been saying it for a long time now. We're going to play for you on the other side, along with your phone calls and all my takes on this weekend, the players, the good, the bad, the ugly. I'm going to play a little rant for you that did make me proud, because it feels like at least someone around here was listening the last couple years. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.